Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, unemployment insurance. You know, I've always worried that the middle class says, I don't want to help anybody who's below me economically, who's in need. I aspire to be wealthy. And therefore, when you get a crisis like this where people are really having major problems because their unemployment insurance has been cut off and they're not able to get jobs, you must hear from a lot of people.
Well, I'll tell you who I'm hearing from, too. And just the other day, I heard from a person who has a bachelor's degree and advanced degrees and got laid off through no fault of his own. The company moved away. They now are left searching 5 months worth of trying to match your skill set and your talent with work and actively pursuing that. You know, what is really wrong here is we're impacting working families in a way that is unrealistic. Number one, it's an unemployment insurance program. The workers have paid into the program. So they have helped contribute to that insurance. And it's what insurance is all about. When you get hit with a fire, when you get hit with a flood, when you get hit with damage, you apply after having paid into a system. What they're asking for here is the ability to continue to pay their mortgage or their rent and their day-to-day expenses that are important. Gasoline to fuel the car to go search for employment. So we're causing some major ripple effects on the economy, the regional economies across this country, by reducing the amount of activity out there in the retail sector, which means more unemployment because you can't keep the staff you have if you have fewer customers coming in. So the unemployment insurance thing is just straightforward, simple, common sense. And furthermore, we have never discontinued the program when the proportion of long-term unemployed people in the unemployment community has been at the number that it's at. 36 to 37% of long-term unemployed, that's 26 weeks or more, is part of that picture right now. So a great number of folks in the unemployment ranks are those who have been long-term unemployed, and a growing number of individuals who are with bachelor degree in hand or advanced degrees. So, you know, we need to be real about what's happening out there. This attempt to deny because it's supposedly an entitlement program is not good sense for the economy. We had lost millions of jobs with the recession that preceded the President Obama's administration. And we have climbed our way upward with every month's worth of reporting since March of 2009. Why do we want to put this in a backward mode? And why do we want to be so cruel on families that are continuing to search for sound employment? I think it only makes sense. 72,000 people a week are being added to these roles across the country. It's a brutal outcome for so many families.
Paul, I wondered about casinos. Your district, the potential for having a casino. The Albany people wanted it at 23. There's some people in Saratoga who want a casino.
Schenectady, Montgomery.
In Montgomery County, your home base that want a casino. Where are you?
You know, I've seen this dividing communities along almost a 50-50 threshold. You know, if there's going to be an issue, the people decide if there's going to be a casino in the area. I hope it's going to be a situation where it's not in a poor neighborhood because of the impact, the disproportional impact on the poor. But in general, I'm concerned about us hinging our hopes for a better economy on casinos. I think there's got to be a better way, more straightforward way. What we have is a dependency on perhaps someone to lose their retirement check or their weak salary so that we can invest in children and their future through education. Somehow that doesn't make sense to me. I know people have been saying that it equals jobs and it provides for economic recovery. I don't know if the soundness of that recovery is as great as we would like to think. You look at the economy in Las Vegas and Nevada, it has not been that great. The property or the property values have dipped precipitously. I talked to my colleagues from Nevada. They've had tough, tough times. And you see this growing number of states in the Northeast that are delving into this concept of casinos. I have to believe there's a finite amount of money that people are able not necessarily willing, but able to give. After you've drained some of those paychecks and those retirement accounts, what's left? And, of course, the impact on the cultural industry in these towns. Proctor's, SPAC, the track itself in Saratoga. Mm-hmm. You know, this has to be done in a way that puts together a plan that can avoid, however possible, the negative impacts on some of the standing cultural entities or entertainment entities as they exist today, and also just being conscious of, you know, just where we provide for the setting so that it's not going to make it so convenient for some of the poorest amongst us.
Does this put you at odds with the Democratic governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo?
You know, I think, you know, it was put, it was decided by the people of New York to go forward with this. So,
but under his sort of guidance and leadership.
Yeah, you know, it's in theory, I just don't think it's the best reach we can make for a stronger economy. And, you know, I agree with the governor's desire to fund more dollars for education. But, you know, I just think there's got to be more fundamental revenue drivers that we can do. Tax fairness, closing loopholes, progressivity in the income tax chart. Those things, I think, provide a stable outcome. You know, you look at the middle-income community taking it on the chin over the last decade or two. It's unreasonable. It's unacceptable. It's un-American. I mean, the purchasing power of the middle-income community, the robust opportunity for them to land work and enjoy the dignity of work, those are the strengtheners that we need. And some of these, you know, reaches to the automatic overnight success may just be overstated, I think.
I only got 2 minutes left, Paul Tonko, but I did want to ask you about climate change. You're a scientist. We've talked about this before, but I want to make sure that, you know, I mean, it's quite clear that strange things are happening.
Yeah, if you can't buy into the climate change concept, understand that these swings with dry drought situations, record heat in the far west and southwest, record winter cold this past winter in the Midwest and Northeast, record snowfalls, you know, very disruptive things by the actions of Mother Nature. That should tell you something, that at least there's something going on that we need the preventative therapy. And if anything, do it for our children. We see more and more asthma situations out there. Mm-hmm. If we're going to allow climate change to continue, if we think carbon emissions are a threat, let's see what methane emission will produce. And that's the next step if we don't do something here. It's many times more dangerous than the carbon emission. So I, as a member of Energy and Commerce and the ranker, the top Democrat on the subcommittee of environment and the economy, which reports the Energy and Commerce Committee, you know, there's a huge assignment to us to get this done. And I'm trying to just address that through good, sound public info pieces and sound messaging. If we throw the science at people, they may reject it. But if we throw out protecting our children and families and having people reach to, you know, some of the guidance that they get from their communities for being better stewards of the environment. Hopefully that will charge the debate here and get us to do something that is critical. We need to be a world leader here. The Paris conference is coming in 2015. We can't fail as we did at Copenhagen a couple of years ago. So
And Kyoto.
So there's just a lot of work for the world to do, and we should be a leader amongst those nations.
Paul Tonko, always a wonderful treat when you come in and sit with us here and talk to us and, you know, let us know how it's all going. And thank you so much for being
here. Well, we appreciate what WAMC does to inform and enthusiastically move the electorate out there to make wise decisions.